Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. And today, my special guest is Clovis Honoré. He is going to be speaking with us today about environmental justice issues. Clovis is the outreach coordinator for Grid Alternatives. That's an environmental justice nonprofit that installs free solar systems on homes of low to moderate income families. And he's also an activist with the San Diego Green New Deal Alliance. So Clovis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit more about Grid Alternatives. It sounds like a great idea. Who qualifies and how does this work?
Grid Alternatives is a great idea and a great institution founded by our founders back in 2008. Mm-hmm. And we've been putting free solar on low-income homeowners' homes since then. More than 20,000 units have been placed on people's homes since then.
Is it locally here in San Diego or is it a statewide program?
It is both statewide. We have an office in Colorado that primarily does tribal work. And then we have an office on the East Coast as well.
Oh, so but, it's actually national. Then. Yeah. Where do people get more information? Is there a website?
Yep, gridalternatives.org.
Okay.
Grid, like in the electric grid, alternatives.org.
So for those listening here in San Diego or other places, how do you qualify? How low or moderate income do you need to be to get this?
Okay, so we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so we don't charge anyone anything for the services that we do. Sometimes folks will have to do some upgrades on their homes in order to qualify. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you are on CARE with San Diego Gas and Electric or qualify for CARE by income,
yeah,
then you would qualify for our primary program, which is funded by the state of California. It's called DAC-SASH, Disadvantaged Communities Solar, a Single Family Affordable Solar Homes. However, you have to live in a very limited area because the state of California tells us where we can spend their money. And right now, that's pretty much in 92113 in a few surrounding areas, a small area along the bay in National City, a small area along the bay in Chula Vista, a small area around the airport in El Cajon, and then a small area along the freeway in Lemon Grove.
Okay. And so you do all of the installation, but not the, you know, not the maintenance, or is that included too?
Maintenance is included too. What we have is a contract with Sunrun. Sunrun provides us with panels. The money that we get from the state and other donations pays for the installation, and then Sunrun charges the client for the electricity, but our program pays for the electricity. So we get into a 25-year prepaid power purchase agreement contract, and we pay all of those expenses.
Now, you mentioned folks that are on SDG&E's CARE program can qualify. What about for those, the many people out there now that are buying their power through community choice alternatives instead of SDG&E? Is there?
Yeah, they would qualify also.
They would too. Okay, very, very good. It's really a good timing for people to be able to access this because, as many of our listeners may know, the state is taking away some major benefits for solar, the CPUC, California Public Utilities Commission,
right,
effective, I think it's April 13th or 14th?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, what we have is called a thing called net energy metering. When you put a solar system on your house, you generate electricity. If you generate enough for your house, that's your electricity. You've already paid for it because you bought the system or you're in some other system. The other way of acquiring that electricity. If you generate more electricity than you use, that goes back into the grid, and SDG&E must pay you for that electricity. So during the day, obviously, when the sun is up, your solar generates. At night, it does not. So you're using SDG&E electricity at night. You're generating your own in the daytime, and the net is either you pay if you use more than you generate, or they pay you if you generate more than you use. Now, that system is going to change on April 14th.
How?
So April 13th is the last day that we'll have the old system. It's going to be called Net Energy Metering 3.0. It's actually Net Billing Tariff, an NBT. And what they're going to do is they're going to pay you different rates depending upon when you're generating excess electricity.
So basically, you're going to be making less money than you would under the current system.
About 75% less money.
Wow. But you could, but if someone can get in the door, do they have to just sign a contract to get solar put on their house before April?
The three requirements in order to get into what we call NEM 2.0, the current system, the better system, is you have to have a contract, you have to have your application into SDG&E, and you must have the design. Those three things must be submitted to SDG&E prior to the deadline. Now, you don't have to have it actually installed
before. So it
might
be hard to even get a design done here, where there's only, what, a little over 2 weeks left?
A little over 2 weeks left, and everybody, if you call somebody today, they're going to hustle to get you a solar system. Get those things into SDG&E prior to the deadline.
Okay, well, that's good. There's still hope then. Can you speak to the whole dynamic of why the California Public Utilities Commission is allowing this to happen? It seems so illogical at a time when global warming is so important, and yet we're taking away one of the biggest incentives for the average homeowner or business owner to go out and buy a solar system. Why is this happening?
Well, you know, one of the reasons I got the job I have is because in a prior life, I actually worked for a company called the Utility Reform Network, and my job was to go to the CPUC hearings and argue against mostly the rate increases and things of that nature.
Right, which is happening again. Yeah,
which is happening again, right? Which means that's why it's such a great time to get solar under the current system.
Yep.
There's a little bit of a balancing. The state of California being, I think, the fifth largest economy on the planet by itself, yes, and obviously the largest or second largest in the United States of America, has a plan to reduce our greenhouse gases. Our company came into being because our founders, Erica Mankey and Tim Sears, knew we could never meet that if you couldn't get solar on less affluent people's homes, because only rich people can afford to buy a solar system, especially under the old system. What has happened in San Diego, so kind of a balance. The first iteration of the program we're doing, and NEM 1.0, was people were getting whole systems, and they could get any size system they want, and they would get paid. So a lot of those folks are still getting paid. Mm-hmm. The second one, in NEM 2.0, which we're in now, it's a little bit of a better balance, and it worked very well. The challenge, you know, to be honest and not really supportive of SDG&E necessarily, but to be honest, San Diego now has 100,000 plus solar systems in play.
Yeah, no, we've done some things right. There's a, you know, I mean, that's a good thing.
Right, but that's a good thing. The challenge there is that the solar systems only work during the day. And without getting into all of the whole thing about how people, you know, you have to start up a power plant in advance in order to deal with peak times. And now peak time is when the sun is going down between 4 and 9, when, you know, all these solar systems are generating excess electricity that nobody can use because there's just too much of it. Mm-hmm. Then when the sun goes down, they all stop generating, and everybody comes home from work, comes home from school, turns on the stove, turns on the computer, turns on the television, and turns on and start using electricity. And so it peaks. But there's a way they have to deal with that in the industry. And that's why your rates are so high between 4 and 9, because there's no real way to address that at the moment with the way the system is set up. And without, again, I'm trying to be balanced, SDG&E and PC&E and SC invested in infrastructure 10 and 20 and 30 years ago is part of your rates.
They did, and they have, to their credit, been doing a lot of fire hardening since the big fires that some of their equipment caused.
Really, they don't have that money in the bank. They borrow that money at an interest rate, and they pay it back over time with your electricity bill. So as you're paying them, you're actually paying back that loan. Well, if you take $100,000, you take one-third of all the systems out, and those folks are no longer paying for that stuff, then how do you balance people who are with solar systems paying for the infrastructure that was part of their bills previously, right? And there's some challenges that, because the parts of that aspect were tied to the rates. So if I'm not paying for any electricity, that means there's a portion of that I'm not paying for. Now, I think what they tried to do to balance it was really horrific and not good.
They were lobbied heavily by the utility companies, line.
Right. But they were
persuaded.
Yeah. So the CPUC is trying to balance that equation somewhat, but they're balancing it the wrong way. I think they're balancing it the wrong way.
Yeah, I know. They did modify it.
And they should have made a longer.
Is it still, for those that aren't able to get in the door before the middle of April with their solar, is it still going to make sense to go solar after that?
Absolutely.
But just less, with a little less financial incentive, but still.
Right. What you're talking about is return on investment. For folks who have to, for our clients, it's always going to be good because it's free.
Right.
For folks who have to invest in solar, it's going to be take them longer to recoup their investment. Instead of 7 to 10 years, it might take them 15 to 20 years. But it's still a good thing, A, for their money, and two, and B, for their environment.
Tell us a little bit about the San Diego Green New Deal Alliance and what that's all about.
That's a beautiful, wonderful consortium of over 60 organizations, from the Sierra Club to Surf Riders to Grid Alternatives to the Green Building Council, and I hope there's 60 plus organizations. All of them are interested in seeing that there's going to be a planet left after 2050. And they've banded together with the assistance of the Climate Action Campaign, which is run by Nicole Capritz, who wrote the city of San Diego's climate plan, and then had to tell them, you're not doing it right, you haven't done anything with it.
sued a couple times.
And actually had to sue them to do it. But we're all working together to support each other to make sure that, one, what each of us is doing is supported and augmented by what all the rest of us are doing, and that we can coordinate activities that we're doing, and to use that political power. And we're all nonprofits, almost all nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So we don't obviously, do the candidate thing. We have to keep our 501c3s.
Of course, yes.
But we can have people come and speak to all kinds of issues and sign on to letters to all kinds of issues, generically speaking and broadly speaking, that can help us move toward a climate neutral environment.
So listeners, if you want to get involved and you want to be part of this cause, where can people get more information about the San Diego Green New Deal Alliance?
All they have to do is Google San Diego Green New Deal Alliance.
I'm going to let you have the final word today, Clovis. What else would you like our listeners to know about the green scene here in San Diego?
Well, we just did some of us from another zone did a little protest downtown in front of Chase Bank to remind people that the money they have put in the bank, these banks are using to fund fossil fuel industries, which is destroying the planet. And one of the lines I used in there in the little video they did of me that I really like it is that all the money in your bank is going to do you no good when the planet's on fire.
Good point.
Your money is funding the fossil fuel industry that's burning your planet. Right. You should think about your children and your grandchildren, that they're going to inherit a planet on fire because you decided to leave your money in banks or with institutions that are helping.
So looking socially responsible, investing, for those that have money to invest is a good thing and something you can do.
And it takes extra energy, but it's worth it to save the planet, I think.
Absolutely. Well, Clovis, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you, Miriam. It's been a blessing.
You're welcome.